If you'll turn your Bible tonight to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. If you're a new Christian and you might have trouble finding a small book like that in the Old Testament, go to Matthew and go back to Malachi, then Zechariah. So, somewhere just before the New Testament. Book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and verse 6. Some of these minor prophets have very brief writings. Zechariah is a little bit more than some of them. But he talks about the restoring the temple, going back from the Babylonian captivity, that Jeremiah prophesied there would be 70 years of captivity in Babylon, but they're going back. And Zechariah is one of the prophets that is challenging them to rebuild the temple and instill the worship in the temple once again. And this is kind of a well-known verse. But he says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." The idea is that they're going to go back to the land. It's possible. They're going to build houses and they're going to instill worship and they're going to have freedom again. But it's not going to come by their own doing. Now, they are accomplices working with the Lord. They have certain responsibilities and certain things they should do. But if God wasn't in it, then it wasn't going to work. You know, if a person is competent, talented, good looking, they have everything going for them, they have a great job, good income, plenty of money, it would be easy just to say, I really don't need God's help. You know, I can do this myself. And we are better off when we realize we can't live the Christian life without Him. It's by His power. There are responsibilities, there are challenges, there are things we should do and can do, but when it comes down to it, it's God that has to have His blessing upon it. The issue that I went through with my voice, 3 years, not really able to preach. I did some therapy. I went different places. And, you know, I tried everything except Botox, which everybody else is told to do. But that was no cure. But everybody didn't get healed that did what I did. And I just feel God had a purpose in it that He's the one that answered prayer. Many of you can remember there was Brother Bob Ross was my parents' pastor for many years. He's with the Lord today. But he never traveled. He had no notoriety. He just was a plodder and faithful and just do right. That's the kind of preacher he was. But he came out to visit us and another church, one of his young people that was in the ministry in Rhode Island. But he came to the service, preached, and then I stood at the front and people gathered around and he prayed that God would heal my voice and be able to preach again. And that was before I was able to preach again. But he prayed. Now, I did everything that I could do, but I could not solve the problem. Only God could do that. You know, there are some things only God can do. And if we get overconfident, we have to realize the Bible says without Him, we can do nothing. So we do need His presence, even when everything's going well. You know, the rich farmer, he said, man, everything's going great. I've got all figured out. Here's what I'm going to do. And so he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm going to sit back and take my ease. And that night he said, thou fool, thy soul be required of thee. He never really planned for the future. So the truth is, we need God's presence. And God performs things and does things that you can't quite explain. And we've seen that through the years, and I hope you've seen that in your own life. And we would call that there is a power of prayer. We don't all call fire down from heaven. We don't all smite the water, the Jordan River, and walk across. We don't all part the Red Sea. We don't all pray for it not to rain. But every person lives by faith. We are to live by faith. The Bible's very clear on it. And there are many things that are just ordinary, part of life. And yet when you look back at it, you say, wow, God has blessed us and God provided for us and He's met our needs. There are a few occasions early on in the church that I still remember very, very clearly. One of them is we had this bus, and then we called it Old Blue. That was our first church bus. And we got the thing painted, but we had to get it through motor vehicle department. Now, it sometimes requires intervention of God when you go to the motor vehicle department. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that's the truth. So I went to the motor vehicle department. We're all praying, God, we've got to have this bus for this Sunday. And I got in line and got up to the front, and they said, you're in the wrong line. And they said, all right, what am I supposed to do? Go to that line. And I wait, and you get up to the front to the counter, and they say, you got the wrong paperwork. All right, what paperwork do I need? And I get another line. Then I get up to the front, and they say, oh, you can't do that. Well, I thought, well, there's one more line. I'll go get in that one. I got in that line. He passed everything. Now, you can say what you want. People were praying that we could do that. We did something that I would never recommend anybody to do. When we bought the property, that was about $160,000 for 3 acres. And we thought we had everything set. And, well, the bank said, well, we can approve only part of it. You're going to have to get a second mortgage. So about a third of the mortgage, we went back to the owner. And the owner had issues with the bank, and he held the mortgage, but he reassigned it to the bank. And we had balloon payments for 3 years on that mortgage. Now, that's never a good idea. But we just felt God is in this. I don't know how we're going to do it, and we couldn't afford it. I mean, we were poor. And we just said, somehow we'll do it. And every single year we got to the week that we had to pay that. It was like $20,000 for the balloon mortgage, or it was 3 years. Each year you had to pay a certain amount, and we didn't have money. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember how we got the money, but it was like the day of, and the money came in, and we're praying. And we don't know what to do. And every single year, and then we got through the 3 years where we had these balloon payments, and we were basically just paying interest. And they said, well, you've got to refinance, but we're not going to do it. And I said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we don't have any money. And, you know, the guy wasn't very happy. Well, so I'm witnessing to him. I'm talking about the Lord. And he said, oh, you sound just like my wife. And he wasn't very happy, but you know what they did? They refinanced the mortgage. And, I mean, we can go time and time again. We ended up buying some of the property around us. I don't know, some of you will remember. And people just said, well, look, I'll help so much more than what I've been doing. And, you know, we came up with enough money. And, I mean, everybody really reached deep to be able to do that. We bought that 14 acres. And we had a lady, Jana, that got saved that lived in the house over here where the Boyles live. And we basically owned the property all the way around us. And she got saved. She's coming to church. And one day she walked in and she said, you know, you've got me surrounded. Why don't I just surrender and you buy my property? I'd like to relocate. And I thought to myself, this is about the worst possible time. We just stretched ourselves to do what we had done. I don't know how we're going to do it. And again, I don't even remember how we did it, but somehow we did. Somehow we bought that. That's where the college is at right now. It's about an acre and a half extra on top of the other land. And we can talk about different people and how God answered prayer and met the needs of people. You know, there is a certain power of prayer, and it can be life-changing. It changes us. You know, apart from prayer, I wonder, would God be working in our lives the way He has through the past? Prayer has a power to it. It doesn't mean that you can call fire down from heaven. It doesn't mean you part the water or move a mountain. But you can do what is necessary that God's called you to do. Where God guides, He provides. We hear stories from our missionaries. They come back and they tell us these unbelievable stories, how God answered prayer, how God met their needs. So prayer has a certain power to it. You know, as you go through the Bible, you see how there were those that were sick were healed. There are people sinking in depression who can be encouraged and helped. Young people, hopefully you're praying for a future spouse and praying that God would bring the right one along. Parents praying that God would bring the right one along. And those are good prayers to be praying. And there are times where we may have a job offer. It's like, I don't know if I should do this. Should I take that job or not? And God will guide you to do the right thing and make the right decision. I've never been one to say, well, God told me this and I'm claiming this by, you know, I'm praying and God's going to answer. You know, we have to have a humble heart. But when we come before the Lord, we have to put ourselves before Him and say, God, this is what I feel You want. And we have to coordinate our lives with God's plan. You know, it's sort of like the waves coming in on the ocean. If someone is going to surf, you have to catch the wave and follow the motion of the wave. You can't do it unless you do that. We have to find out what God is doing and be a part of that. All the miracles in the Bible, think about this, all the miracles of the Bible were a result of people doing what God had called them to do. It was in the will of God. It was part of His plan for the future. They went into captivity, but they were to be delivered out of captivity. They were in Egypt, but God said, I'm going to deliver you out. He made a covenant that they would be back in that land. And He's not forgotten His people. He's still working in the nation of Israel even to this day. So we have to find out, what is God doing? Well, today, God is saving souls. He's building His church. When we are connected to that, when we are part of that, then it's no longer just, well, I'm going to church to see what I can learn. No, we go to church for prayer. And we want to learn, we want to grow, but we serve the Lord because we want to be a part of what He's doing. That's why people are involved in the bus ministry and Sunday school and with the young people and in the Christian school and the Bible college. That's why people help with some of the repair and maintenance. It's all part of trying to get the gospel out. It's why we support missionaries. It's why we start churches. When somebody gets involved in that, it's no longer somebody just comes to church and they sit down and they say, all right, you know, I'm here, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But you're not really part of God's plan. True. You're probably not going to have many answered prayers. I remember a young girl named Esther. There's two sisters. They lived in Southington, Germania Street. There was about the only place in town that was kind of a bad area. But they were in Germania Street. And they came on the bus. And I remember Esther was trying to figure this out. She said, you mean I can pray for a new Mach 1 Mustang and God will answer that prayer? Now, she was sincere. She didn't get it. If that was part of God's program, I would say yes. But that was not part of God's program. That was her program. That's what she wanted. You know, there's certain things we can pray for our benefit that's not part of God's plan. But when we understand the will of God and God's plan, we can pray with confidence that God will help us, protect us, and guide us. Do you realize the safest place to be is in the center of God's will? Amen. Doing what God would have you do to further His kingdom. And that is the best place to be. That is a place of blessing. And that puts us in praying ground. That we now can pray as we face things, God will enable us to accomplish what we're trying to do. One of the things that I felt concerned about is I said, we've had a mortgage almost from the beginning when we bought the property in 1977. It wasn't a very big mortgage, but when we started the college, it grew immensely. And we were about $3.5 million in our mortgage. Well, lo and behold, we're below $1 million. So we're getting down. But our goal is a year from this May, do we get it all paid off? Now, do I have confidence that's going to happen? Not really. But I have confidence in God, and I believe it's a worthy prayer that we would do that, that we would get it paid off. Now, how's that going to happen? I mean, if everything keeps going and doing what we're doing, I can see we could get it down to 600,000, or I can see that we could, physically, I see we could do that. But I don't see how we get where it's all paid off. Well, that's something to pray about. Because God can do that. God can do what we can't do. I mean, there can be unusual ways that money comes in. And in fact, we've had that. And I don't know if you noticed, but in the bulletin, there was an extra $50,000 that we just received. Somebody just donated $50,000. And that's going to help us with that goal. Not even someone's a member of the church, but familiar with our ministry and wanted to be a blessing. I mean, the Christmas offering is a great help. I think maybe apart from that 50, there's probably 27,000 people sacrificed and donated. That's terrific. That's great. But it really comes down not just to obedience, but it also comes down to prayer that God will do abundantly above all we ask or think. And so there is a power to prayer. Now, we'll see. We'll see. A year and a half from now, we'll see what God does. But that's my prayer, and that's many people that are praying that God would do that. So there is a power in prayer, but the context of it is for spiritually minded people. It's not for someone that's living in the flesh, that's carnally minded. Prayer is for people who are living in the will of God. They must be spiritually minded people. If someone is not saved, that God does not really hear their prayers. Now, God may bless them. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But the only prayer he will hear from someone who was unsaved is, "Lord, I'm a sinner, save me." He'll hear that prayer. So if someone is not saved, they can call on the Lord with confidence and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Come into my life and save me." And he will answer that prayer. And that puts that person in a position where they can pray for many, many other things and to see God answer those prayers. And even if a person is saved, there may be things that will hinder their prayer life, hinder the ability to pray and receive answers. As an example, if the family is not right, if there are problems in a home, it says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Isn't that interesting? The wrong relationship with our family members can hinder our prayer life. If there's bitterness, anger, unresolved issues, that can be a hindrance to our prayer life. And we must understand in the context of prayer that it's according to His will. Now, He can do whatever He wants, but He wants to hear from His children. And when we figure out what He wants, we can pray with confidence. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." So we have to be in a position of prayer to realize here is God's purpose. Here is God's will. And I believe further that the power of prayer comes when we are endeavoring to further His kingdom, when we're trying to reach the lost, to pray for unsaved people, pray for God to lead people to us. I mean, all those things are important in our prayer life that can change things. And we have to be persistent in our prayers. You know, there's an example, a parable that he gave. The men ought always to pray and not to faint. If we just keep coming back, the idea was that this person kept knocking on the neighbor's door and they kept knocking and kept knocking and knocking. And finally, the owner got up and said, "All right, what do you want? Just stop knocking and I'll give you what you want." And there is a persistence in prayer to keep praying. Don't give up. Sometimes it may seem like it's too late. God can't answer. And I've seen many times where I thought it was too late, but it wasn't too late, and God answered in the right time. So we have to just keep praying. Don't give up. If there's a lost loved one in your family, don't give up. Keep praying for them. If there's a friend, a coworker, don't give up. Keep praying for them. If there is a financial need, a health need, just keep praying and trust God that He'll do something that you can't do. So we have to be persistent. And then we must pray in simple faith. Just believing God will provide, that God will take care of us. Say confidence in Him, that what He does will be fair, will be right, and it will be good. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us come boldly then, because He understands and knows what we're going through. The trials, the temptations, He knows all of those things. John 16:23, it says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." So He wants to hear us pray. He wants us to ask. Ask for things that will help further His work. And God sees a person who is humble with a contrite heart. Psalm 34, verse 17, says, "The righteous cry, the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." I just believe when God breaks our heart and humbles us, and we see that we've been stubborn, we can see that we've been carnal, we can see that we've been self-serving or self-sufficient. And when God humbles us and breaks our heart and we see those things and we confess that before God, it is amazing how God begins to bless our life like never before. He'll guide and direct us and to our family, to our finances, our health and service. God, it's just, He cannot bless those that are proud, those that are independent, doing their own thing. And sometimes it takes a tragedy. As we said this morning, when 9/11 occurred, it got people's attention. You know, people were stricken by what could happen. It could be worse. When there's a death of a loved one or someone that's diagnosed with a serious illness, it humbles us. And to be humbled is a good thing. You know, the whole idea of revival comes, we have to first humble ourselves before God. And as we humble ourselves, we see God answer prayer. So the power of God means that He can answer, He can provide for us. He said, "I have called on Thee, for Thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline Thine ear unto me, and hear my speech." So we have to be a part of God's program. Jeremiah 33:3, I realize this is an Old Testament verse. It says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Amen. Now the context is Jeremiah is talking about judgment. He's saying, you're going to go into captivity. You have sinned before God. But then He gives a promise that He's going to bring you back. And you're going to see the blessing of God back in the land once again. So He said, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not." Somebody told Lester Olof one time, he said, "You know, that's an Old Testament verse. That's not for us today." And Brother Olof responded, "Well, how about that? I've been getting answers to that prayer for many, many years, and I didn't know that." God can answer in the Old Testament. He can answer in the New Testament. And you can pray big prayers, and God can answer those today. Psalm 107 and verse 28, he said, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses." We all go through trials. If you think you'll not go through any kind of trial and everything, you're going to be in great health and never have a problem, you're mistaken. It's just when. You know, that'll happen to all of us. But as a Christian, God has a purpose in all those things. As we yield our life to Him, we see God used that. You know, that became a blessing. And it's not something we would choose, maybe, but yet, when you look back at it, you'd say, that was a blessing of God. A little boy came to first grade. He'd been in kindergarten the year before, and lunchtime, he would eat his lunch, then he would go home. And he's in first grade, first day of school. He finished his lunch, he packed it up, he started to walk out, and the teacher said, where are you going? He said, I'm going home. And the teacher said, no, you stay all day. And he said, well, who signed me up for that? There are things that, you know, we didn't sign up for it, but God has a purpose in it.
Right.
And we can look to Him in prayer and say, God, help me. Lord, direct me. Use this for Your glory. He brought famine and He brought rain. He answered the prayer of Hannah and enabled Sarah to conceive beyond her childbearing age. He brought manna from heaven and water from a rock. We have all those examples, you know, and many, many more. But it was an example for us to learn that when you're following the will of God, you can trust Him and He'll meet your need. He'll provide for you. When we came to Connecticut and started the church, it just never occurred to me we might starve to death. That just never crossed my mind. It never occurred to me. But there are other people, occurred to them. They never said it to me until later. But we just came and said, that's what God wants to do. We're just going to go. And it was literally amazing how God provided for us. And there are so many others. I mean, that's not the way to do it. It didn't make sense. I left a job when I was in Chattanooga that the people at work said, boy, you know, this is a bad time to be leaving. You know, we're in the middle of an Arab oil embargo. Gas prices have skyrocketed to 70 cents a gallon. I mean, you don't want to be moving around now. Never occurred to me. It just, this is what God wants to do. Let's go do it. So God honors faith that is in His will and trusting Him. And sometimes in a miraculous way. And He did many times. He provided for us ways that never could have expected. But God does that. Matthew 17, the disciples had this difficulty. They couldn't cast out a demon. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So he said that faith could be very small, but there are some situations that require prayer and fasting. Now, the fasting, going without eating for a period of time, does not accomplish anything, except it gives you a contrite heart and you look into your heart and say, Lord, is there something more I could do? Do I just need to trust You, Lord? And it draws you closer to the Lord. And it shows a seriousness about your Christian walk. So there are times that it requires prayer and fasting, serious prayer. Maybe a wayward child, one that's not, they're just not spiritually minded. And you think, God, you have to bring them back. Prayer and fasting can change things. So God can change our situation, our finances, the home we live in, our job, our family. He can provide for us in every way possible. But one of the things that prayer does is it brings peace and serenity in your own heart and life. Now, I'm not into yoga, and I don't believe that is the solution and answer, although it's a good thing to quietly sit and meditate, but that's meditating on God, meditating on His Word. But when you pray, you can leave your burden with the Lord and bring peace that God's going to provide. God's going to take care of this. I may not understand it, and he may not answer in a way I anticipated, but it's in his hands. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So you have peace with God the moment you get saved, but as a Christian, as we pray and trust God, we have a peace of God. Peace in our heart and life, that's no more worries, no more anxiety. And the Holy Spirit helps us. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We know that God does something for us to help us as we pray. So we can pray even with weak faith, but we know this is what we ought to be praying for. And sometimes we don't even have words to express how we feel. Sometimes emotions can be overwhelming. And we just have to kind of hold on. Lord, I'm just trusting you. It's in your hands. And as we pray, it enables us to be more like him. More like him. Dr. Charles Weigel was preaching at a church, and he had a period of time in between the morning and evening service, and he went to the botanical gardens, and he went to the rose section, he sat under it and fell asleep, and realized it was time he had to get to church very quickly, and he went directly to the church. And someone immediately said, "Dr. Weigel, you've been to the rose garden, haven't you?" "Well, how did you know that?" "Because the fragrance was all over you." It's kind of an amazing thing that when God's working in somebody's life in that way, you can see it all over them. I mean, really, you can see their countenance, and you just see their attitude and the spirit that they have. The fragrance of God is upon them. So we can be a partaker of his divine nature. And then finally, prayer avails much. Ephesians 6 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." James 5 says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I don't know how much that avails. I don't know what that means, but it means something. That there is a power in prayer, that it can make a difference, that it can change things. So as we pray, we can have the confidence, as we surrender our will to his, as we are doing our best to follow whatever it is he has for us to do, to be involved in his program. And as we surrender our heart and we're humble before him, we're in a place where we can see God answer prayer. Now, if you read biographies of great people, which is a great thing to do, every young person ought to read biographies of great Christians. But George Mueller was an amazing man and highly respected among so many other pastors and great people. But people had such a great respect for him because he helped the helpless. He had this orphanage and he brought in young people. And that it was a big problem in that day. But he would bring them in and feed them and clothe them and take care of them and train them and so on and so forth. Now, in my mind, I always had this in my mind. I thought, well, that's a great testimony. He probably had 30 or 40 kids. He had hundreds and thousands. The building facility was a huge plant, the buildings. It was an amazing campus. And he never asked for a penny. He had no source of income. He just prayed and trusted God. And that's why people had such respect for him. Because he trusted God. He didn't ask for support, but people did support him. And there are people who said that we help him every month. But there were stories, such as one case, they had no food. They didn't know where it was going to come from. And they prayed, "Lord, we thank you for the food that you're going to provide." And someone broke down out in front of the bread wagon. By accident or by appointment. And I was able to give them that meal in direct answer to prayer. That was unusual. You know, we may not experience something like that. However, we do know that God answers prayer, and there's a power in prayer. We must understand the importance of it in our life, in our church, in our family, every day, seeking God, humbling ourselves before Him, and asking God to work and meet our needs and use us for His glory. Let's bow for prayer.